this service today and in this Bible conference. What a joy, what a privilege it's been to hear the messages that we've been privileged to hear, and how our hearts have been encouraged. We've been challenged. We've been rebuked. We've been made to feel sad. We've been made to feel glad. This is all a part of what the Word of God will do for anyone that has been saved by His grace. We bring you greetings from Northside Baptist Church in Elton, Kentucky, where we've been privileged to be there almost 22 years as your pastor. And what a joy it is, and what a privilege it is to be a minister of the gospel, called of the Lord, anointed of the Lord to preach, knowing that you haven't entered the ministry by your own choosing. The Lord has chose, called you, and anointed you to preach, and then to entrust you with one of His churches. It overwhelms you. You realize what joy, what a privilege it is, and what a privilege it is to preach. But with that joy and with that privilege, it is an awesome responsibility. I do ask you to pray for me, spiritually first of all, that I might be given the words to say, the strength, physical, the spiritual strength and power to say them with. I've been suffering with what I believe to be a problem with a gallbladder all day. I woke up at 3 this morning, and it has given me a little trouble today. But I feel the Lord has placed me on Brother Titus's heart when he asked me to come to preach. And I feel the Lord has laid a message on my heart that I must preach. I believe I'd be in worse shape if I didn't preach it, and would be if I do. And so, just be honest with you. And so, in other words, I can't help but preach it. At the same time, I would say to you that we will be hosting a Bible conference. I believe it's our 6th annual Bible conference on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May. It begins on Thursday night and goes through the Saturday afternoon service. Several of these brethren will be preaching in this conference, as they do each year. Somebody said, I won't never tell anybody else who else is preaching when somebody else is preaching. Well, I'm going to break a tradition here. Brother Don Titus will be the first speaker. And then, now I have told you who the first one is. Now you can figure out who the others are, okay? But anyway, we'll leave it at that. But I want to say to you, this evening, or this afternoon, that those things I have to say are from the Word of God. Those are the things that I've been convinced and convicted of. I don't read my Bible through other men's spectacles. I have to study it for myself. Those things that I'm convicted God's Word teaches makes no difference if the whole world don't believe it. Right. I'm going to have to believe it until such time as the Lord changes me. I just be honest with you, because, and if I'm wrong, wherever I'm wrong at, He's capable of making that change in me, just as He has ever other change. And so you just pray for me as I speak from the Word of God. Good to see you. Good to be here once again today in this Bible conference. Well, Harvey, I believe you've got that water here for you, but if I decide to use it, it will be all right with it. Okay, it's all right if you have. That's no problem. All right. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, first of all, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. We're going to read several passages of Scripture this afternoon before we get into the message, but you'll understand why as we get into the message. 22nd verse of the 9th chapter of Hebrews. That almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood is no remission. We find in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning to read in verse 7. John 16 and 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you to all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, That shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. We find also in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7 and 25 now. We'll go back there and look for a few moments. We find then, wherefore he is able also to save unto the uttermost that come unto him, by him that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And then in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. May God's blessing be upon thus the reading of his word thus far. And I ask for your attention for a little while as God, pray for God to give me the grace to speak those things that he has laid up on my heart. First of all, we see his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We find in Romans, that was in 9:22 of Hebrews, there in Romans 5 and 8, we're justified. We see that we're justified by his blood. The atonement, my dear one, this evening or this afternoon, has been made. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, went yonder to the cross of Calvary 2,000 plus years ago, or nearly 2,000 years ago, and made an atonement for sin. Now, I'm so glad that at that time I was included in that atonement. That atonement was made for Mitchell Smith yonder on the cross of Calvary. Had I been the only sinner that would ever been born into this world, it would still have been made. It would have still took the same sacrifice and the same atonement as it would for everyone that has ever or shall ever be saved. Well, we find, first of all, then, we see there is an atonement that has been made. All right. We find, then, that atonement is applied. Now, this is sort of introduction to the message. That atonement has been applied. The Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God, the work of the Spirit of God, was that he would convict of sin, that he would reprove or convict of sin. We find that he did this, my friend, under the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, for the foolishness of preaching, he's chosen to bring the lost to save those that believe. So, dear ones, I would say to you, we find the atonement. We find the Spirit and the Word, my dear ones, making the atonement effective upon the elect of God. And then we find, my friend, there is a present day work also that Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Now, did he just make one intercession for us, or does he make a continual intercession for us? This is very important because many people can look back yonder 13 mile level side of Timbuktu and tell you under an old shade tree where they got saved, or they had some man-made pubicle they supposed to have got saved, but they can't tell you nothing else about that salvation. I have some question about that kind of profession of faith. But I would say unto you, the work, my friend, that began on my behalf yonder in eternity past, and then was manifested in the atonement that was made by his Son yonder on the cross of Calvary, was brought unto me through the preaching of the Word, made effective by the convicting power of his Holy Spirit. I say to you that blood of Christ continually cleanseth. That is plural now. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. It is a continual work, and the intercession of Christ, my friend, is a continual thing, beginning on our behalf before the world ever began, but was made manifest unto us at the time we were brought to godly sorrow and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. All right. Now let's deal with this for a little while, as God would give us the grace to deal with it with. We're dependent upon him. We have no power. We have no wisdom. We have no knowledge except that he would entrust us with. In the first epistle of John chapter 1, beginning to read in verse 1, we find that which was born of the beginning. We're not looking at the verse we're looking at first of all. Yes, we are. That which was born at the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, and the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have no fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, let's follow through. God's word clearly points out sin and what sin is. It clearly points out that the blood of Christ is the only atonement for sin. And it also clearly points out how that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. Well, my dear one, we were saved. This is a little bit akin to what Brother Harvey just said. We've enjoyed this message. It's been a blessing unto us. But anything that he said that I say again, it won't hurt a thing. But I would say unto you that we have been saved, and we are being saved, and we yet shall be saved. So I would say unto you, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm so glad that John 5:24 gives me a guarantee there. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. I'm sure of that. I am assured, my friend, that I am a child of the Lord. I am assured because I know there was a time when God's word was preached unto me and His Holy Spirit brought conviction and brought me to a godly sorrow and to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. For godly sorrow, a work of repentance, not to be repented of, dear one, and the sorrow of the world, work of death. But I would say unto you, dear one, that was a godly sorrow when the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed me. That, as the brother said here this morning, that was no accident. The Holy Spirit of God overshadowed me and brought His convicting power upon my heart and soul, and it brought me to a godly sorrow and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But I say unto you that I can rely on that. I can know that that is a guarantee that I am a son of God, that I am saved. But if I should lose my memory totally, then there are other things that I can go on that will guarantee me that I am saved. There are other things that I could know. I counseled with a young man that is a member of our church. I hope he's saved. I know that he's got his name on the church book. I know he identified himself as one that had been saved or would have never baptized him. But he hadn't been to church, and I don't know when. He said, "But Brother Smith, I'm saved." I said, "My God, man, will you please tell me what it is you've been saved from? You still love sin. You still hate the church. And you still hate the Word of God, and you still hate God's people." So I said, "I don't really know what it is that you think you've been saved from, but I suspect it has not been genuine salvation." He bristled up and said, "Don't tell me I'm lost." I said, "I won't. But if I can show you in God's Word where you're still lost, then it hadn't been me that said it." But I was saying to you this morning, this afternoon, the point I want to make here with you is this. First of all, then, that we are once and for all saved. We find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, he said, "By one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified." I would say unto you, those that believe. Now, so we find then that we find God's Word, God's Spirit, through the working power of God's Spirit, we were brought to conviction, godly sorrow, repentance, and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, my soul has been saved from the penalty of sin. But has my body been saved yet? No. I do not have a saved body. My body is fleshly. My body is carnal. So are yours. I'm not satisfied with the deeds of the flesh. I'm not satisfied with the activities of the flesh. Even though there's an inward force within me that leads me from prayer to prayer, from the Word of God to the Word of God, yet I'm not ever able to find myself to be all that I want to be or all that I should be for the Lord. Now, this is where we come in at. The blood of Christ with our message. The blood of Christ continually cleanses us or continually cleanses us from all sin. Now, the atonement was made, my dear one, not just for the penalty of sin, which it was made for that, but my friend, the atonement was made for all the sin. It was made for my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin. And if that atonement does not cover all sin, then it cannot cover any sin. So if all of my sins, my past, present, and future, were not included in the atonement, then I am still in my sins and on the way to a devil's hell. If it's not included in the atonement. The atonement, my friend, was not just for the penalty of sin. The atonement was for all sin of the elect of God. Alright. Then we find in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Bear with me if you will, please. Hebrews 7 and 25. Once again, we want to look at it. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for me. Oh dear one, 44 years ago, when I heard the word of God like I had never heard it before, I had been raised, been brought to church, took to church all of my life. But at 16 years old, I heard the word of God like I had never heard it before, and that was an accident. I was brought to a godly sorrow, and I was brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Why was that? Why did that happen? That happened because 2,000 years before that, there was an atonement made for that sin. Not only 2,000 years ago when the atonement was made, that atonement was planned in eternity past, and it was manifested when Jesus Christ came to the cross and finished the work that the Father gave him, and the atonement was completed. I would say unto you, all that the Father gave him were included in that atonement. No more, no less. All that the Father gave him. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But he said, all the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me shall no wise be cast out. All right. Now, so therefore we find that he interceded, dear ones, when after he left this earth, my dear ones, and ascended back to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father where he ever lived to make intercession for us. On that day, on that glorious day that I was saved, my dear ones, Jesus Christ interceded for me and he pleaded his blood, dear one, as a basis for my forgiveness. And God, because of the atoning blood that was made to me, heard this sinner's prayer and saved my soul. That's why Jesus interceded for me. Had he not have interceded for me, then, dear one, I had nothing, had no way to ever be saved. There was no hope for me unless Christ interceded. Why did Christ intercede for me? Was it because I fell at an old time in what they used to call as a kid growing up morning things? No. Was it because all of a sudden this sinful boy wanted to be good? No, it wasn't because of that. My friend, the reason that Christ Jesus interceded for me, the reason he interceded for you at the time of your salvation, and the reason that he intercedes for anybody is because you were included in the atonement, and his basis for interceding, my friend, is that the blood has been made, and for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was applied to my heart. I wasn't saved till that day. Oh, dear one, it was applied. Because my dear Savior pleaded his own precious blood. And God forgave me and saved me for Jesus' sake. These bunches of ones around saying, tell mother I'll be there and all that. Listen, that's a bunch of spiritual garbage. Let me tell you something. I have a mother that's in heaven. I blew heaven down about that. But my friend, I was not saved because of mama's prayer. I was not saved in order that I might go one day to be with my mother. I believe one day I will see her. But I was saved, my friend, because my dear Savior Jesus Christ made an atonement for me. And when his Holy Spirit brought me to conviction, when his word brought me to the knowledge, and then he interceded for me. He was my go-between between me and God. Amen. And he made it right.
Amen.
That's why I'm right.
Amen.
That's why I'm saved. Amen. Over in the 85th Psalm, I have a message I preach. Some of you heard me preach. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and peace have met together. Righteous peace. Dear one, we have a lost man here. We have a man that's depraved and void of any goodness whatsoever. And we have a God that is a God of justice. My friend, justice demanded that I would die in my sins. That's what justice would have. That was what it would have took to satisfy the justice of God. But my friend, I want you to know when Christ made the atonement there. And then, my friend, when he sent his spirit to convict me of my sin, when he sent his word to bring me knowledge of my sin, then, my dear one, I was brought to a godly sorrow. Not a man's sorrow, but a godly sorrow. Not a worldly sorrow, but a godly sorrow. A sorrow after a godly sorrow. And I was brought to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the only reason today that I can tell you that I'm going to heaven, because I'm saved. There was an intercession made at the time that the Holy Spirit of God brought me to conviction. Did the Spirit of God leave me at that time? No. My Bible tells me He took His abode in my heart and soul at that time. He began to live then within me. His work prior to that was of the convicting nature, was from the outside toward the inside. But then, my friend, the Spirit took His abode inside, and then the work of Christ goes from the inside out. All right, now. Let us look at it and be as fair as we can with this. But we want to look at somebody we cleansed from all sin. He made the atonement. He interceded. And God's demands of justice were satisfied. And upon the authority of the Word of God, I declare to you that I'm saved. Upon the authority of the Word of God. Now, all right, let's look in the First Epistle of John, chapter 1. Let's look in 1 Epistle of John chapter 2 and verse 1. All right, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, to be righteous. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at Romans 8 and 34, first of all, though. Romans 8 and 34 tells us, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. He is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, we look at that, and then the passage in the first verse of chapter 2 of 1 John, that we have an advocate. Now, we find that Jesus Christ, dear one, continues to be seated at the right hand of the Father, according to the Scriptures, upon authority of the Word of God, and He continues to intercede. I have an advocate. I have an advocate with the Father. He, my dear one, when this old flesh does its natural thing, this does not mean that you have a license to sin. God's Word teaches some things about those of us, the sins of the flesh that are not repented of. But I would say unto you, first of all, then when the old flesh rises up and gives me trouble, and that happens every day. And it does with you, if you'll be honest with me, it happens every day. It rises up and it gives me trouble. But then I would find that same working of God's Spirit that brought me to a godly sorrow yonder in Clarksville, Tennessee, 44 years ago, that same Spirit that gave me godly sorrow, He still gives me godly sorrow with Him. What I meant, but when I told that young man that I didn't know what he'd been saved from, because he surely didn't have any godly sorrow over sin. But I would say He still gives me godly sorrow over sin. It's the same working, my friend. You can carry that all the way through, from eternity past to eternity future, from the day you were saved unto the day you go through the portals of glory into the presence of God. You can continue that through, and you'll find it's the same operations of God. He operates how? He operated through the Spirit and the Word to bring us to salvation, and He operates through the Spirit and the Word to bring us to sanctification. Amen. So I say it's through the Spirit and the Word. Had a man came to church visiting one time. He wanted to make me believe the Lord to come in the hospital room where he was and sit down beside of him. I said, I'll tell you, I don't know what that nurse looked like to sit down beside of you, but it wasn't the Lord. I can just tell you that much. I can tell you. And it might have been somebody else, but it wasn't the Lord. Because I can take you to the Word of God. He still declares that. But we can go on and let him believe in there if he wants to. But I was saying to you, as we look at this for a little while, then the Spirit of God continues to work with His Word, continues to intercede for us, as we find the intercede, pleads his blood as the atonement. When we were first brought under conviction, and God the sorrow and repentance, as we said, and our depraved and wretched souls were saved. My friend, when this old flesh gets in trouble, and it does all the time, when it gets in trouble, my friend, I still have an advocate with the Father. I have one that pleads my case. And if we're faithful to confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and from all unrighteousness. I believe, my friend, that the word confession, a confession without repentance, is a dead confession. My friend, we find you take the Scripture, you test Scripture with Scripture now, and if the Word of God teaches us that God is our work of repentance unto salvation, you have to look at that in relationship with John 1 and 9, that if we, 1 John 1 and 9, if we're faithful to confess, it's because His Spirit makes us faithful to confess, and His Spirit that makes us faithful to confess will not stop at that. He will also grant us godly sorrow. Now, and we can deal with this on as we go on a little further. If any man sin, then we have an advocate. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all sin, all unrighteousness. All right? Once again, look in Romans 8 and 27. Romans 8 and 27 tells us then, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Now, we find that Jesus prayed the great prayer for his disciples there in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And one of the thoughts that we share with you from the 17th chapter of John, from the prayer that Jesus made, was he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. My friend, I would say unto you, the Spirit is working within you if you're saved. The word is working within you if you're truly saved. And my friend, Jesus Christ is continuing to make intercession for you if you're saved. It is a continuous intercession and not just one time intercession. I am so glad that he didn't leave me alone after he saved me. See, if he left us alone after we saved, then my friend, every sin we committed would have doomed us again to the devil's hell. I will say, dear one, he ever lives to make intercession for us. The person that is saved by the grace of God, and if you're saved at all, you're saved by the God of the grace of God. But I'll tell you, if a person is saved by the grace of God does not avail themselves to prayer and seeking the will of God for their lives, they're living far beneath their privilege. I was saying to you as we look at this, if any man sin, we have an advocate because he makes intercession for us, the saints, according to the will of God. Now, we're not going to get on that too much right there, but it's according to the will of God. All right. It is God's will that we live godly. It's God's will that we live sanctified life. It is God's will that we live separated life. And dear one, if you are saved and that desire is there, and if you're saved, that desire is there. It may be buried beneath many years of backsliding, but I would say if you're saved, there's a faint desire in your heart, at least a faint desire, to live in the will of God. You'll never be satisfied out of the will of God. Just as I was talking to one of the brethren here yesterday, that once you've been taught the truth of God's Word concerning the doctrines of grace, and you've been exposed to the doctrines of grace, not just by some preacher brother, but because God used some preacher brother as an instrument in His hand, you've been exposed and brought to conviction on that, you'll never be satisfied with around any other kind of preacher. And we find as we look at this then, He intercedes on our behalf when we come to Him with a godly sorrow that He has granted unto us. When we come unto Him, and he continues to intercede for all of the born again elect. Every time we come unto Him with a sincere heart, the only sincerity we can have is that sincerity that He gives unto us and confess our sins. He grants a repentance and intercedes unto the Father and declares His blood as a basis for a continual cleansing from our sin. His blood, the atonement has been made. Dear one, that atonement didn't run out. My dear one, it didn't run out the moment I was saved. That atonement continues, and He continues to intercede. As long as the atonement holds out, the intercession will hold out. And I was saying to you, that will be forever, because what the Lord doth, He doth forever, and the atonement was of the Lord. As long as the atonement holds out, then the intercession will hold out. As long as the intercession holds out, we'll continually be cleansed from all sin. All right. Now, all right, then we, how do we know when we sin? Somebody prayed, Lord, if I've sinned. That kind of a prayer bothers me. If I have sinned. We had a young lady one time that had been disciplined from the fellowship of the church, and she come before church. She said, Brother Smith, if I've offended anybody, I'm sorry. I said, that's not good enough. Go back to your seat. There's no point in her wasting my time and no point in her wasting church's time if she didn't realize that she had sinned against God and the offense that she had committed. If she had not come to realize that, it wasn't yet time for her to come before that church. It was not yet time for her to come. And so she wanted to argue with me. I'm not going to argue the Word of God. Those things that I'm convicted and convinced of, I'm going to believe. I don't care what you believe. I'm going to believe them until somebody shows me in the Scriptures that they're wrong. All right, now, how do we know what is sin? In chapter 32 of the book of Numbers. Number 32 and 23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against God. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, sin is a violation of God's Word.
Amen.
If our activity, our conduct, our faults, our speech, our deed violate God's Word, it's sin. And no matter what you call it, no matter what society calls it, if it violates the Word of God, it's sin. And if you can sin and not be found remorseful over it, I question your salvation. Do not believe a saved person enjoys sin. I believe a saved person's heart is broke over sin. Dear brother, had the privilege of leading him to know the Lord many years ago. About 2 weeks after that, he was helping me put a roof on his house, on my house. He come down on that thing that was up with a hammer, and you never heard such a lick that hammer took, that finger took. And I'll tell you what, he let out a mouthful of filth, and he sat there on that roof, great big old 250-pound man, and leaned his head over his knees, and he just wept. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, did you hear me? I said, yeah, about a week ago. Well, 2 weeks ago that it bothered you. He said, no, I used to sin that. I said, why do you think it's bothering you now? Because that convicting power of God's Holy Spirit just began on him. At the time, he brought him conviction and God the sorrow, repentance, and faith, and Jesus Christ. Oh, I didn't have any doubt about that man's salvation. If I didn't have any prior to that. But he thought that he had ruined himself with me, that I wouldn't love him, that I wouldn't respect him, and no kind of way. You know why I realized that? Because I've been through those things. You follow me? And you're going to have to say, yours may not have been using bad words. I don't know. But whatever you were doing before you were saved, through the flesh, there can come a time when you will trip up and do that. But I tell you what, if you do and you feel good about it, you need, my dear one, start once again trying to rectify where you got off track at. But I tell you what, you won't be comfortable with it. I shall never forget. After I was saved, couple of years after I was saved, I got with the wrong crowd and I was influenced by the wrong people. I got out of church and I got out of the will of God. I have gone to that church and sat down on the front steps where nobody couldn't see me. From inside the church and heard the preacher preach and lay my head on my hand and weep over it because I was so miserable. But I was ashamed to get in front of the church. Until one day, that spirit that began his work on me and my friend that began his work on me, but for me at the time I was saved, I was saying to you, one day I didn't care who saw me. I run down that aisle. I run in front of that church. It didn't make any difference if the president was sitting there. I wouldn't worry about the thing I was concerned about. If I had offended God, I had violated the Word of God, I had sinned against my God, and the Holy Spirit of God dwelled in me because the atonement had been made, and I cried out to God for forgiveness, and I got that sweet peace and that burden rolled away because my Savior made the intercession for me. You can know when the intercession's been made. Tell you how you can know when the intercession's been made. That burden will roll away. Word will roll away. There's a dear friend of mine, a businessman in Clarksville, that maybe made several $1 million in his time. He got saved. He was saved at in the kind of a crusade, and I don't believe many people get saved in them, but believe he was. And I'm going to tell you why I believe he was. Because he gave away about $100,000 the next day. He went from one businessman to the other. The man, I stole from you, and I cheated from you, and here's the check. He gave away over $100,000 within a few days. I believe there's some evidence there that the Lord had worked on him. Because he'd have stole $100,000 from him quicker than he'd have got to give it back to him. What happened to that man? I believe the man got saved. I believe the man heard the gospel. And I believe God honored his word. I don't think God honored the man who preached it. Oh, but I think God honored his word. I believe the man was saved. Last count, I had the man still serve the Lord. But I was saying to you, I don't have any question he'll continue to serve the Lord. But God, but I was saying to you, Christ Jesus not only made an intercession for him because the atonement had been made, but I say to you, he also, when the man got to praying over his sinful deeds, again, he was brought to remorsefulness over that. Not because he was lost, but because he was saved that time. And that remorsefulness was the work of God's Holy Spirit. And Christ Jesus, because of atonement, pleaded his case. God forgave him, and then when he forgave him, he wanted to right the wrong. I believe that a repentance, that I'm kind of repentance that I talked to you about this afternoon, is a kind of repentance that will make the person that has been saved and has had it want to rectify the wrong that's been done. And I believe that, well, that it sometimes it may not even be possible. It may be murder involved. It may be other things involved. But I was saying to you that they want to, did not Zacchaeus, after he come down out of a sycamore tree, and I want to remind you that Jesus called him out of a sycamore tree. He was there, but he never came down. Salvation never came to his household until Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Jesus said, well, do you think he was saved? Jesus said he was. He said, this day salvation has come to thy house. And I was saying to you, what did he do? He said, if I've taken anything for all from a man, I will restore him, what is it, sevenfold, or what, you know, is it so many fold? I will restore it. I believe the salvation that we're talking about begins its work. Jesus Christ intercedes, and he makes the intercession because of the atonement. Amen. And I was saying to you that I went to Christian County Jail one day and counseled with a bank robber. Brother Clark was with me that day. You remember that, don't you, Brother Clark? We counseled with a bank robber. And this is the very thing I told this young woman that has robbed that bank the day before. I said, if you say you're saved, and if you're saved, then you have an intercessor. The thing you need to do, you need to think these prison doors are going to cry open for you. You're going to have to pay your debt to society. But if you're truly saved, you'll find once again that an intercession is going to be made for you. There a minute, you're sincere in it. We went there and counseled with her. I had the privilege to see that lady several years after she got out of prison. And so far as I know, she is serving the Lord. But I say to you, I don't forget now how many years she got in prison, but she'd been out. But I would say to you that she got peace there, I believe, that day. I believe that burden rolled away. But I would say to you, then another time I was called down to Todd County Jail. The man had murdered his wife the day before. And his family asked me to go down and counsel with him. I went down and sat down with him, and he was very remorseful over it. He realized the wrong that he'd done. And I instructed him on some things concerning the Word of God. And later, we find that in Eddyville Penitentiary, there was a young man that went down there and witnessed to him later at Eddyville Penitentiary. And he made a profession of faith, trusted the Lord as his Savior. And this has been 20-some years ago. He's out now, and so forth. We know he's serving the Lord. You know why? Because there was something made for him. He got forgiveness for murder. Yes, he did. He got forgiveness. See, the Lord, it was a terrible and a hideous crime that he committed. I was saying to you that he got forgiveness for it. You know the worst crime that's ever been committed? When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross for our sins. It was a crime on our part. It was the will of God on his part. But I said that's the most hideous sin that's ever been committed. And every person that's ever been born into this world had a part in that crucifixion. Every one of us that are here today had a part in that crucifixion. Aye, beloved, because of that crucifixion, then there was an atonement made. Because of that crucifixion, there was an intercession made. And because there was an atonement made, and there was an intercession made, we've been marvelously saved by the grace of God. And then our lives are brought to sanctification by the same working of God's Spirit and His Word. His Spirit, as we said, convicts and reproves. Then when one has been convicted and reproved of the Spirit, then 1 John 1 and 9 takes over, doesn't it? That if we'll confess with our mouth, that was never given for a repeating deal. No more than Romans 10, 9 and 10 was given for repeating prayer. I said this a few weeks ago when I was holding a meeting for Brother Harvey in Armistead. You can take me a parrot. If I know how to train a parrot, bring him, put him here in a cage, and I can teach him to repeat John 5:24, and teach him to repeat Romans 10:9-10, but it doesn't mean that parrot's got a soul to be saved. There's been too much repeating done and not enough looking for godly sorrow and conviction now. But if God's Spirit convicts, I will never use Romans 10:9-10 to a lost person that I don't have some assurance in my heart they're under conviction. If they're under conviction, it's beautiful. To a saved person that sinned against their God, my dear one that's believing him this afternoon, I won't use John 1 and 9 to them. Not unless I can see some evidence of godly sorrow there. If I can, then John 1 and 9 is beautiful. Because it tells us there is an intercession will be made. It will be made because of the atonement. Now, as we look at this then, hurriedly, for our last thought on it, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Most of us know it by heart. Let's read it again. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But when on all points tempted as we, like as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Dear ones, I've had to go to that throne of grace for 44 years. Went there first time 44 years ago. My years and my wife and I raising a family, I've had to go to that throne of grace concerning my children. In the years that I've pastored, I've had to go to that throne of grace so many times concerning wayward church members. Yes. People that won't live for the Lord, won't serve the Lord. Somebody said, just turn them over to the Lord and forget it. Oh, that's wonderful. I won't disagree with that statement. But if you're a pastor, you haven't found a place yet where you can totally do that. You haven't found a place where you can totally do that yet because your heart's broke. And God will lift that burden. But as long as that person's out of the will of God, I have found that the burden is lifted somewhat when the church exercises church discipline. That it's not totally lifted, I will tell you, at that time. But when the church will exercise what the Word of God teaches about church discipline, then I have found to some extent I am more able at that time to turn them over to the Lord. But I would say unto you as we look at this, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. By the grace of God, I tell you like it is and not for any glory of the flesh. I'm not about to leave my house and my property of the morning, the property of the Lord put me on before going before the throne of grace. I'm not about to get out there in a sin-cursed world that is set against me and is determined to destroy me. I'm not going out there without going before the throne of grace first. Because I need some protection when I get out there. All right. There is a throne of grace. Now Christ is touched by our infirmities. When we're weak, He's concerned. He has a love for us when we're weak. When we have been tempted, He was tempted in all points, like as we. See, we're tempted. Say, well, I'm not tempted. I question your sincerity or your truthfulness. Say, I'm not tempted. I know that I won't get into that. But anyway, what I would say to you, I was going to give an example there, but I don't think it would be good. But anyway, I don't think it would be of the Lord. But I would say here, as we look at this for a little bit, He was tempted. When we're tempted, He knows our temptation. He knows what we're tempted. And when we're overcome, He's still there. He's still there interceding for us. Well, I'm not going to get out here and name getting you to name a lot of my personal sins to you. But I can tell you what, my sins have been put underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to get into all of that, because that would just tempt you to gossip, wouldn't it? But at the same time, all I'm going to say to you is this, that I can remember over and over again, there was a time when I thought about, not because I'd lost my scriptural qualifications, I don't think, but there was a time I thought about leaving that. It looked like that I'd take one step forward and two backwards. Didn't look like I was accomplishing anything. And I give some serious thought to it. But I'll tell you what, when I was tempted to do that, there was that still small voice of God that we know is the working power of God's Holy Spirit. He wouldn't let me quit. And I'll tell you something, if you're in the ministry and he lets you quit, you go on and quit. Because you're not worth the salt of your bread anyway, if you can quit. But I was saying to you that when you're tempted to quit, preacher, brother, pastor, brother, dear ones, when we're tempted to give it up and throw it in the towel and quit, dear ones, let me tell you, there is a throne of grace. And he will intercede Amen. For you. Amen. He will intercede for you. Amen. I remember the time I lost my temple with a church member. They would have tried the patience of Job. But at the same time, I want you to know something. I lost my temper with him. And I told him what I, you know, kind of been wanting to tell him for a long time. You know, just hadn't got a nerve enough to. I went down the highway in my automobile, and I couldn't drive because I was weeping over what I'd said to that brother. I think, humanly speaking, he had it coming, but I wasn't the one to give it to him. I turned around in the middle of 181. I drove back to Elkton at breakneck speed. And I went to the place of business where he was working at. And I went back behind the tool crib where he was a parts man, an auto part. And I told him that I didn't have any business losing my temper with him. And I'll tell you what, time we hugged one another and wept for about 10 minutes, he got it right with the Lord. You know what I mean? He didn't get it right with the Lord because all I did is made him mad. In fact, if I hadn't got away, he'd have broke my jaws. But at the same time, you follow me? But the Lord didn't let me get by with that.
Yeah, amen.
I believe that people that pastor, I haven't always been able to be that faithful to that. But I'll tell you this much, people that pastor, you can pastor. There's nobody that can't. But I'll tell you what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to be ready to do some self-discipline. You can't demand your rights. You can't do your thing and do what you please and nobody else's business, because if you've got a church that's called you, it is some of your business what you do. You're not going to control what I preach. You're not going to control my doctrine, what I believe and what I'm convicted of. But it is some of your business what my life is like. And I would hope mine would be strong enough to call me to question on it. And I hope I'd be strong enough not to have a fit with me if it did. And I was saying to you that when those things come into our lives, when those things come into our ministry, oh, I thank God that we have one that ever lives to make intercessions. When you've